702.
WhatsApp Profilwe on 072-702-1702.
Nikki Bush is our human expert, a human potential and parenting expert. Good morning to ya.
Good morning.
I see you've got all your accoutrements.
I'm trying.
You're putting
some
new cell phone on the tripod. We've got the toys for the toy review, and I've still got my plates from the restaurant conversation.
I was listening to you on the way here, and I was salivating. I think I really have to try this new restaurant. I mean, really, it's breakfast time. How can you talk about such delicious things at breakfast time? Stretch your Nutella coming out of the cheese.
Yes, it looks amazing. Well, I've had myself a nice little breakfast right there.
Lucky.
Yeah, so thanks to the guys at Aurum. Nikki, so we started this conversation actually last week, which is building children's independence and confidence as they go off into the world at varsity, right? Or rather preparing them for university. And we essentially got to a point where we said, well, the work and the hard work of preparing them for independent life should start much, much earlier. Yeah.
100%.
And so we're talking about doing all of this in pre and primary school. Tell us where and how we should start.
Right. So children make hops away from the nest gradually. From around the age of 2, we need to start gradually letting those kite strings out and giving them little bits of responsibility for their own lives and for being part of the broader family. Mm. And that starts with chores. It starts with giving them the responsibility for picking up their toys and packing them away after they've played. And that doesn't happen on its own.
Absolutely.
This is a togetherness activity. So if you have a preschooler who's between 2 and 4 years of age, it starts by at the end of playtime, when it's maybe time to pack up before we go and have a bath, together we get on our hands and knees and we put everything away in the boxes. Mm-hmm. What I used to have was a series of plastic suitcases, and one was for all the plastic food and the other was for all the army trucks and the cars, and the other one was for the animals, because actually letting kids take out a number of different toys and mix and match and play is a really great way of stimulating creativity. Then we used to have competitions to see who could throw all the pieces in the right boxes, so we're sorting and categorizing at the same time. Who could do it the fastest? So there was lots of encouragement going on. It became part of the game, was the tidying up. And then, unpacking a dishwasher. It's not your sole job as the parent to tidy up, clean up, pack away, wash the dishes. Get everybody involved. It's a family activity.
Well, it's a family home. It's our home. It's our environment. We all need to make sure that it stays clean, hygienic, and tidy.
Absolutely. Yep. I love the way you use the word our. So many parents ask me, should we pay for chores? My answer is a simple no. We live in our home. And part of the payment for living in the home is that we all pull in together and do what has to be done. Mm. Yes, there are some exceptions that you might pay for. You know, maybe you might pay a teenager to clean your car inside and out, which is going to take a couple of hours if it's done properly.
Yeah.
You may want to give them an incentive for that. But opening curtains, closing curtains, feeding the dogs, making your bed, hanging up your towel, tidying up the toys, that's all in a day's work for a family. Mm. These are the simple things that will draw your children into the kitchen, for example, to cook with you. And I talk about the fact that at the end of a very busy day, all children want is to be with you, to hear your voice, smell your scent, do stuff with you, because they've been apart from you the whole day.
Absolutely.
Be invitational. Get them in. Get them involved in cooking the family meals. Yeah. Get them involved in making the toast in the morning. It's not difficult. You put the pieces of toast in the toaster and you press down the button. Okay, so different people have different roles in the morning.
And you've started on a very, very sort of elementary and very doable point, which is something as easy as getting them in the kitchen and making the toast, right? But in terms of getting, as they get older and getting them ready for life away from home at, you know, first year varsity onwards, etc. Just the idea of food and cooking, right? You mentioned in our chat last week of sending kids off to varsity. Lots of parents were worried. Is my kid going to be able to do their laundry, right, on time, or their ironing? What are they going to eat? Maybe you never taught them how to cook. perhaps now is a great time to sort of disabuse parents of the notion that my fragile little child will never, ever be able to gain useful knife skills. Because they will. Having grown up in the era of buying a full loaf from the shops and learning to cut, huge doorstops or doorsteps
straight
out of the loaf and finally sort of finessing thinner, better slices.
So here's the thing, Rafilwe. Our children watch us all the time. They take in more from what they see than from what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, under the age of 12, you are still the hero in their life story. And they see you doing things over and over again, and they want to be just like you. Here's the bottom line. They actually, at that point, want to be like you. You need to climb in and take advantage of this stage of life. Because if you pass on the baton of responsibility and teach them how to do what they see you doing every day, they get a huge sense of, wow, I can. And my parent trusts me to do so. Mm-hmm. This is the really big key here. Mm-hmm. When you're doing the washing and the laundry and you're doing stain removal with your squirty bottle, get the kids in to help you do that. That's fun for them. It's target practice,
Absolutely.
And then getting that washing in the machine and pressing the button, making it go woo, woo, round, round. Okay. So take that a step further. I had a child who went to boarding school in high school, weekly boarder. There's a laundry at the school. We paid for laundry. If he came home with a bunch of laundry that he'd forgotten to put in at the school laundry,
What did you do?
It wasn't my problem. I was paying for that to be done during the week.
Mm-hmm.
His only responsibility was to remember.
Mm-hmm.
If he hadn't remembered and he came home, I didn't touch it.
Yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He learned from the age of 14, and it only happened once or twice a year, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And he absolutely knew it was not my problem. He learned, because I showed him just once, how to do the stain removal, how to run the washing machine,
mm-hmm.
how to hang up the washing, and how to iron it.
Yeah.
And I never had to think about that again when he went off to varsity because he knew how to do it.
I'm curious, Nikki, in your interaction with parents, what tends to be, from an emotional level, those blockages or those barriers to letting kids do things for themselves? I mean, sometimes, of course, you just do actually have household help, right? And you've employed, you've employed domestic workers, you've got a gardener, you've got all these things, all these systems in place and people in place employed to take care of the house. So quite often you go through life and you take care of work, kids take care of school and the home, and those basic life skills are not necessarily a worry. Or you may think, when this kid gets older, they're going to do a certain type of work, they'll be professional, they won't be spending that time doing this. Is that kind of thinking helpful, and what tends to be other sort of blockages to parents teaching their kids these skills?
What a great question. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of blockages. One is we already have help.
Yeah.
So we'd rather use the time differently.
Yeah.
Number two, we are very busy parents today. And so it's easier and more expedient to do the job ourselves or to let somebody else do it than to train our children.
Yeah.
To be competent and confident. And I think those are the two words that I would like to leave our audience with this morning.
Yeah.
We need to raise competent, confident children who know that they can do, who believe I can, I am, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a third thing. A blockage that comes up with parents. So, for example, a dad who's great at cooking breakfast on a Sunday morning or doing a braai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's heat and fire and electricity involved here. Oh, no, I can't have my children here. What if when we're doing the fried eggs, the oil spits on them?
Mm.
What if they burn themselves when they light a fire? Well, the funny thing is that if you teach your children to be competent and confident, they will hurt themselves less than if you don't teach them at all. They are far more at risk because there's an amazing interplay that happens with involved parents who are passing on the baton of responsibility. There are conversations. There are conversations about, now this is how you do it, and this is how you don't do it. Because if you do it this way, you're going to burn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel this? Just put your hand close. Can you feel how hot it is? Now, if you touch that, you're going to get a blister on your finger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are all these safety conversations that go on that will protect your children because they've been with you in the situation. And so those are the main blockages that come up. And the fantastic thing that I've discovered when I have had children with me who don't have life skills is that we can pass on that baton of responsibility even if we're not the parent. Uh-huh. So on holiday, I had nieces and nephews with me who are not used to doing their own washing. And the piles of washing were huge. There were a good sort of 10 to 13 of us in the house at any given time.
Sounds like fun.
Wow. So I was doing more housework than I normally do on a normal day in my own home.
Yes.
So I said, well, look at all this washing here. Come. Let's do this together. Mm-hmm. You do the stain removal. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that my nephew had done stain removal. Mm. I mean, it's a simple thing.
And you sought, you know,
yeah, with whites, colored, etc.
Yeah.
And in the same vein, we had a holiday where I taught my nephew to make a bed for the first time. The first thing he said to his mum when she arrived a week later was, Mummy, guess what? I learned how to make my bed. Such a huge aha that I am and I can and I will. And that's what we want for our kids.
So ultimately, they won't break with added responsibility.
They grow with added responsibility. And we do it incrementally.
Because you grew too, by the way, right? I think generationally, the idea of, or the ideas around what children should do and can do have shifted quite a lot. And if you think of your own experience, you realize, why not pass along the things that, you know, you were able to do
100%.
And that you were taught?
So often I had parents come and visit my home, friends and clients, and they would see my kids at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12 carrying a whole chicken out to the braai, mm-hmm. and it was all oiled and seasoned. And they would say, like, who's doing the cooking? Where's your husband? You're here. I'd say, oh, my kids are doing the cooking. Mm. They what? Mm. But my kids cooked with us. And by the age of 9 and 10, we're cooking entire meals by themselves. We're kicking me out of the kitchen and saying, we don't need you. We've cooked with you for so long. We know what to do.
Incredible stuff.
And it's trusting. Mm. It's trusting them to do what you've taught them to do well. Mm-hmm. And that gives you peace of mind, mm-hmm. that they will cope without you. And that's what we want, because the ultimate goal of parenting is to let our children go. But unless you feel confidence in their independence and their resourceful skills, you won't feel comfortable letting them go.
100%.
So, yeah.
All right. So we've got a message here. Andre is saying, before I could read all right, I made a gas braai and singed my hair. Oy vey. My dad saw the evidence and did not yell at me. Obviously, he knew that I had to learn. That's Andre's input there to our conversation. But Nikki, I'm hoping we've got enough time to take a look at the Melissa and Doug toy that you've brought in.
Right. So in the vein of independence,
yes.
I was thinking of what to bring today. And if you have a little one who is just finding their feet and starting to toddle and walk,
yes.
Every child needs something to push along or pull along.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Melissa and Doug's first play carousel pull toy. Look how awesome this is. It's lovely, firm, wooden.
Yeah.
It is a pull along toy as well as being a construction toy. So I can pull all this sort of carnival festive stuff apart.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are three little horses on this carousel, wooden horses, very colorful, and then three other pieces that you load on top. So you actually build the pull-along toy. So there's that spatial planning, stacking, mm-hmm. seven wooden pieces. We can talk about colors. It spins around, completely fascinates your child. So when they build it, they make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's that, once again, the sense of empowerment, while at the same time, if they're learning how to walk, it's encouragement.
The string attached to the carousel.
Pull this pull along behind them and see how it spins. When I walk, I make it spin.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's the joy of it. It's 400 Rand, available on Takealot or in Polly Potter's toy stores. And just such good value for money. It's solid, rubberized wheels.
Yeah.
And all round, a beautiful gift to give a new parent for a new baby. And it will last. This will work for children from about 6 months of age, because you will pull it in front of a sitting baby or pull it in front of a crawling baby for them to chase, right the way through to the 18-month-old who can now start building it for themselves.
Speaking of lasting, these kind of toys, Melissa and Doug toys, make it from the first child to the second to the third to the fourth, and then passed on to the cousin and the other cousin and the other cousin.
I call
incredibly
them
incredibly durable.
Heirloom toys without the heirloom price.
Yeah. Absolutely. Nikki, thank you so much. It was fun talking to you as per usual. So we'll do this again next Saturday.
Thanks, Rafilwe.
All right.